Well, this morning, John chapter 16, the truth, albeit a near unbelievable one. Verse 5, now I am going to him who sent me, because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. We tend to think what we need the most, what we'd wish for the most, what would make the most difference, Jesus in physical flesh and blood form with us. But you understand it from our text this morning, from John chapter 16, the words of Jesus, that thinking is completely contrary to Jesus' thinking. That thinking is wrong. In light of our year-long series, Pursuing the Truth, Knowing the Truth, Believing the Truth, Living in the Truth, in light of that, can I say it this way? What we tend to think, what we need the most, what we wish for the most, what would make the most difference, Jesus in physical flesh and blood form with us, that's not the truth. The truth, what Jesus says, better than Jesus in the room with us, is Jesus going from us so that he can send the Holy Spirit then to us. That's the truth. Wow, what a truth it is, right? Listen, it's true, even never mind anything else of Scripture. And the Scripture has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. Even if we were to set it all aside, all the rest aside, and kept only this statement from Jesus, how exceedingly and extraordinarily important the Holy Spirit becomes. How important for us, how necessary for us, how vital it must be for us to know him, the Holy Spirit. Do you know him this morning? How important, how necessary, how vital it must be for us to make room in our lives for him, the Holy Spirit. Have you made room for him? Do you make room for him? How important, how necessary, how vital it must be for us to experience in all of his fullness him, the Holy Spirit. Have you experienced him? Have you encountered him, his person, his work? That's become our focus. We started last week. We'll continue still, in fact, for a few more. We begin this Sunday just like we did last Sunday. First, this, the Holy Spirit, who he is. He is God, the third person of the Trinity, co-equal with God the Father. Listen, not less. Co-equal with God the Son. Listen now, not less. Of the same essence, not less. Not different, of the same essence, and yet also distinct from them. He is God. He's God in us. This morning, we're going to keep with that line of thinking, adding, though, this, the emphasis of this, the focus of this. The Holy Spirit is a divine being. Best to say, listen now, he is a divine person. It's how we say it. It's how we describe him. He is the third person of the Trinity. It's how we've entitled these few messages, the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's important for us not to forget that, not to neglect that. Really related to any person of the Godhead, that would be true, but maybe especially so to the Holy Spirit, if for no other reason than the sort of mystery that surrounds him. Isn't it true? The Father, we understand, by virtue of his sort of identity, if you will, God the Father, our Heavenly Father, there's an immediate connection, isn't there, to a person. The personhood of the Father we then get makes perfect sense to us. The Son, even more so. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus walking and talking among the people. Obvious and easy for us to get the personhood of the Son. The Spirit, though, we just don't understand him like the other two. We make him to be some mystical force, some representation of God's power that's available to us. We make him to be some unknown entity, something. Even in some circles, be careful lest it be in our circle. We call him it. Can you imagine? For your family member, your loved one. Hey, doctor, how's my wife doing? Well, it is actually doing pretty good. What? Did you just call my wife it? Can you imagine it for your children? Teacher, how's my daughter's grades? Oh, no need to be concerned, not at all. Your daughter, it has good grades. To call a person an it, that's derogatory at the very least, right? I know it. All afternoon, my children are going to be calling each other it. I'm completely convinced I should have skipped this illustration altogether. It is, though, derogatory, isn't it? And yet, though hopefully out of ignorance more than derision, many people refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. He's not that. God the Father isn't that. God the Son isn't that, nor then is God the Holy Spirit. He's not a something. He's not some unknown entity. He's not some mystical force that just exists. He's not some vague expression of God's power at work in us or through us. No, the Holy Spirit is God. He is a divine person. By way of his divinity, he possesses all the attributes of deity. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He does the works only God can do, creating, regenerating, sanctifying. Listen, he's deserving of the worship that only God deserves. This is a great question for you. Can I share with you, full disclosure? It still is a bit of a struggle for me. I'm totally fine. Lift my hands. God, I worship you. I'm totally comfortable and totally fine. Jesus, I worship you. I love you. Holy Spirit, I worship you. I love you. All of a sudden, there's a thought that rings in the back of my mind. Should I be doing this? Is this right? Do you understand? Even in my own life, even in my own mind, in my own thoughts, there's this sense. I get it with God the Father. I get it with God the Son. But there's still a sense. Does it work the same for the Spirit? Is it the same for Him? And the answer is yes. Can I encourage you? Can I invite you into the practice of loving on the Holy Spirit? And that's not wrong to say or to think of. Just as you would love on God the Father, just as you would love on God the Son, have time, spend time, take opportunity to love on God the Spirit. Can I invite you? Lift your hands and worship God the Father. Lift your hands and worship God the Son. But also step into the place where you lift your hands and worship God the Holy Spirit. In his deity, he is deserving of that worship. He is deserving of the surrender of your life to him. By way of his personhood, here's the bulk of our message this morning. By way of his personhood, he has a mind. He thinks. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. He has a mind. He thinks. He speaks. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, always the conclusion of each message to each of the churches in Revelation, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. By way of his personhood, he reveals, he teaches. 1 Peter chapter 1, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstance in which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that had now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. The Holy Spirit revealed to the prophets of old the ministry of Jesus, the person of Jesus, the suffering servant that Jesus, the Messiah, would be before he came to rule and reign as king. The Holy Spirit revealed to the prophets, in a sense, this is not for you. Maybe better to say, this is not for your time. It's for a time to come. The Holy Spirit revealed that. The Holy Spirit made that known to them. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. You know how you know that you belong to Jesus? You know how you know that you're a child of God? Because the Spirit reveals that to you. The Spirit makes that known to you this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, however, as it's written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit doesn't accept the things that come from the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they are spiritually discerned. By way of his personhood, he reveals, he teaches, he helps, he leads, he guides. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico of the temple, its building, its storerooms, its upper parts, its inner rooms, and the place of atonement. He gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind. In Isaiah 30 and verse 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Galatians 5, so I say live by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The in-between verse, verse 17, the sinful nature desires what's contrary. We don't do what the sinful nature does. We don't follow the inclinations of the sinful nature. We're led by the Spirit. We stay in step with the Spirit. This is the personhood of the Holy Spirit. He helps. He leads. He guides. By way of his personhood, he's active. He works. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, to God's elect, strangers in the world, who've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Just like you, if you will, in your personhood, you have a job, you have a responsibility, you have a purpose. So the Holy Spirit has the same. He has a work that he does. He's active in the work that he does. We discover in Romans that he intercedes for us. We read it just a moment ago. This the work of the Holy Spirit. This the personhood of the Holy Spirit. He's active right now interceding for you. He's active right now in sanctifying you. By way of his personhood, he gives. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. This morning, the person of the Holy Spirit, his divine personhood. We will not forget that. We will not neglect that. We'll not live in ignorance of that. Even more so, our focus this morning, our even greater concern, by way of his personhood, listen, he can be sinned against and lied to. In Acts chapter 5, it's what Ananias and his wife Sapphira did. It's in fact the very reason they died. By way of his personhood, he can be insulted. Hebrews chapter 10. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? Some translations say outraged the Spirit of grace. He can be insulted. He can be angered, outraged even. By way of his personhood, he can be resisted. By way of his personhood, he can be grieved. By definition, he can feel sorrow. He can feel pain, can feel unhappiness and distress. In Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 7, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he's to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he's done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion, many kindnesses. He said, surely they're my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their Savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet, they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy. And he himself fought against them. Do you understand? When God, by way of his love and his mercy, saves and redeems you, lifts and carries you, and you turn from him in response to that, that grieves the Holy Spirit. That makes him to feel sorrow. That makes him to feel pain. That makes him to feel unhappiness. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul admonishes us, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He does that after talking about living a life worthy of our calling. Again, do you understand? To not do that then. to not live the life worthy of his salvation, of his calling, to not do that grieves the Holy Spirit. When we still live how we used to live before our salvation, when we still act like we used to act, when we still talk like we used to talk, when we still have the same bad attitude that we used to have, when we still do the same now, our lives in him, when we still do the same in him as we did when our lives were lived outside of him, that grieves the Holy Spirit. When we live our lives in the dark while claiming to be children of the light, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Still in Ephesians chapter 4. Not being humble and gentle with one another. Patient and bearing with one another in love. Not doing that grieves the Holy Spirit. Can I just pause here for a moment and encourage you by this sort of added dimension of motivation for you to be humble and gentle with one another. Listen, my brother, my sister, be humble. Listen, my brother, my sister, treat one another gently. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. Well, that doesn't come easy to me. Listen, that doesn't come easy to anybody. Well, I didn't grow up in a home. Listen, a lot of people didn't grow up in a home that demonstrated those qualities. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Stop talking about your home. Stop talking about how it was for you growing up and start living in the reality of resurrection power inside of you. Just a new added dimension. You don't just frustrate whoever you're not gentle with. You don't just stumble. Well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should have been a little kinder. Maybe I should have showed a little bit more grace. Maybe I should have shown a little bit more love. Maybe I should have been a little more tolerant. Do you understand? A new added dimension for your motivation. Listen to me this morning. It's not just about them. It's about the Holy Spirit being grieved because you weren't gentle and you weren't patient and you did not bear with them in love. Let's just be honest this morning. Let's be done and every single one of us in the room come to the altar and cry out for repentance for all the times. Not last year, not back when we were sinners and wicked, yesterday, before we walked in the doors, like at 10:20, what we said out there or what we said at home before we got in the car to come to church. You understand? Listen, this is no easy thing. This is a challenge for all of us. This will be the struggle. This will be the work of our faith. If I can say it, don't panic. We're not saved because of work. This is the work of our faith. This is the effort of our faith. This is the discipline. This is what God is doing to mature us and to grow us. It will be a struggle. There'll be highs and lows. Sometimes we'll fall. We'll make mistakes. There's no doubt about it. But listen, my brother, my sister, let us never be complacent in grieving the Holy Spirit. Let us never make it some small thing, and this my fear, exactly what we do. Oh, patient. Boy, I sure struggle being patient, especially with them. Listen, stop with that talk and recognize it for what it is. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know if I can bear up with them any longer. Listen, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're not gentle. You're not patient. You're not bearing with one another in love. You're not humble. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. Not keeping unity, peace, and harmony within the body that grieves the Holy Spirit. Listen, we're just going for it this morning. That's not a conversation with you and a brother, you and a sister on the phone. That's you grieving the Holy Spirit as you diminish that one, talking about them and all that they did to annoy you and bother you and offend you and all the rest. Just an FYI side note, Scripture also calls it gossip. And it's wrong and sinful. It destroys the unity and the peace and the harmony within the body. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we don't speak truthfully to our brothers and sisters. That grieves the Holy Spirit. When we let anger control our actions, when we take from one another, when we speak foul and abusive words, when we do that, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we don't get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, and all other types of evil behavior. When we fail to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, even as Christ has forgiven us. When we don't do that, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Can I also include this? By way of his personhood, the Holy Spirit has a mind. He thinks. When we don't have his mind or his thoughts, we grieve him. By way of his personhood, the Holy Spirit speaks. When we don't listen to him, when we ignore him, when we disobey him, we grieve him. He reveals, he teaches. By way of his personhood, he helps, he leads, he guides, he's active, he works. When we ignore him, don't let him, we grieve him. He gives gifts. When we bury them, we grieve him. To not treat him, to not let him be the person that he is, to not let him do all that he does, all that he desires to do in us. That's what it is to grieve the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, all of that brings us to this, our greatest concern. He can be sinned against and lied to, insulted and resisted. He can be angered. He can be grieved. And by way of his personhood, he can leave. The Spirit of the Lord left Samson in Judges 16. The Spirit of the Lord left Saul in 1 Samuel 16. And David was desperately afraid in Psalm 51. That because of his sin, the Lord might take the Holy Spirit from him. Listen, my brother, my sister, the Holy Spirit is God. He's God in us. He's a divine person. We must not forget that. We must not ignore that. We must not neglect that. And we must have the greatest concern. Take the utmost care that we treat him as such a person. A divine person. Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to your people. Lord, we open our hearts and our lives to what your Spirit wants to do. That's last week, that's this week. It's the same theme, it's the same purpose, it's the same end game, end objective in it all. Holy Spirit, that you would have your way among us. And this morning, in light of that, we recognize this. Your mind, your thoughts for us, we want to have that mind, those thoughts. There's a work that you're doing, a work that you're wanting to do. There's a purpose that you have, a purpose in your personhood. We want to avail ourselves to that purpose, to that work. It's the cry of our heart. My brother, my sister, make it the cry of your heart. Holy Spirit, do your work in me. By way of your personhood, we're reminded this morning. As persons, we know we can talk. We do talk. We talk to one another. This morning we're reminded the divine person, Holy Spirit, that you are. And yet I wonder, I venture to guess, some of us in this room have not once heard a word from you. Truth be told, we've neglected, we've ignored your divine personhood. We avail ourselves to that this morning. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. Open our ears that we might hear what the Spirit says to us. Open the ears of this pastor, Jesus, I pray. Come on, church, my brother, my sister, pray for your pastor for a moment. That he always and only hears what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to him. Holy Spirit, help me to hear what you say to me. Help me and Jenny to hear, Holy Spirit, what you say to our family. Lord, help New Life, help our ears to be open to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to us. Now I pray for my brother, for my sister in this room. Help them to hear, always to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. That they never miss it, that they never ignore it, that they never disobey it. We give ourselves to this morning, Holy Spirit, to who you are, the divine person that you are. And we pray, oh Holy Spirit, help us that we don't sin against you. Come on, church, you got to pray that. Help us, Holy Spirit, that we don't ever lie to you. Help us, Holy Spirit, that we don't anger you, that we don't resist you. Come on, church, you got to pray that. Pray that for yourself. Ask God to help you. Come on, maybe first order of business, some recognize the need to repent in this room. Just for a moment, you need to do business with God. You recognize that you have not treated the Holy Spirit properly. You have not recognized fully and completely the personhood of the Holy Spirit. And this morning you repent of that as you recognize. Maybe there's some grieving of the Spirit that you've done, you're guilty of. You've got to repent of that, my brother, my sister. You've got to repent of that this morning. We're sorry. We're sorry. Holy Spirit, we're sorry. We're sorry that we've resisted you. We're sorry that we've sinned against you. We're sorry that we've rebelled against you. We're sorry this morning. We're sorry that we've insulted you. We're sorry that we've grieved you, Holy Spirit. We've not lived a life worthy of our calling. We've lived in the dark while claiming to be in the light. We're sorry. We're sorry this morning, Holy Spirit. We repent. We've not been gentle. We've not been humble. We've not been loving and kind and bearing with one another. We've not forgiven one another. We're sorry, Holy Spirit. We're sorry for how we've grieved you. Listen, church, you hear it. We conclude where we began this morning in worship. Listen, do you understand the alternative? The Holy Spirit leaves, or the Holy Spirit comes and rests on us. Come on, invite Him to come rest on you. Invite Him to do the work He needs to do so that you stop resisting Him, so that you stop angering Him, so that you stop insulting Him, so that you stop grieving Him, so that He doesn't have to leave you or this church, but He can rest on us. This is our prayer this morning. This is our prayer. Jesus, we invite you to change us this morning by the power of this truth, the divine personhood of the Holy Spirit. We hear it, we believe it, let our lives be changed by it. Where we never did before, we're going to give the Holy Spirit room to speak to us. Where we never did before, we're going to give room, we're going to give place for the Holy Spirit to give to us the gifts that He gives as He sees fit. Lord, I pray it in Jesus' name. Let there be more of the manifestation of the gifts of your Spirit in this room. As we, your people, give ourselves to the personhood of your Spirit, we're going to have more of the mind, the thoughts of the Spirit. More and more the work of the Holy Spirit in us. More and more the work of the Spirit. We give ourselves to this truth. Our lives changed by it this morning. Help, Lord, in that I pray. Would you do this with me? Psalm 51, David's cry. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Listen now. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Listen, listen. Make it your cry this morning. Oh, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Would you make that your prayer this morning? Make that to be your prayer. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We're sorry. We're sorry. Now that business taken care of, we invite you to come. Fall fresh on us. Anoint us. Empower us. Move among us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come to this people. Rest on this people. Rest on my brother. Rest on my sister. Rest in this sanctuary, over this place, over this church, over each and every ministry. Holy Spirit, rest over that parking lot tomorrow. Every car that drives through, every person that's out there in that pole barn, packing groceries, putting groceries in the cars that come through. Rest on us. Rest on us. Hallelujah. I believe without a doubt that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to each and every heart in this room. What I don't know is exactly what he's speaking to you. I would know this, he's inviting you to open up your heart and open up your life to more and more of him. And I just want to encourage you, my brother and my sister, say yes to the Holy Spirit this morning. Say yes to him. Say yes to his divine personhood and all that it would mean for you. I pray this for you in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet? Would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord? I pray over you also this. I declare over you this. The Lord's word, the Lord's will. As under shepherd of the great shepherd, as high priest of this assembly, in accordance to God's word, to pronounce over you his people his blessing, that you leave this assembly under his blessing, with his blessing. Here it is. Listen now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you, help you to say yes to the Spirit, and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you this morning.